This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekness starts in 3, 2, 1.
Night has fallen on Arthouse Legends and something sinister lurks in the shadows. Three geeks and their guests will look on the critically acclaimed terrors of cinema and judge their work. Settle your spine and watch your step as you trespass into
the Art House of Horror.
Welcome to the podcast that is here for your soul and your cotton candy. This is the Movie Dude Eric, and along with me is...
This is Kent, and you know, if I can make it through the room, I can make it through this bullshit.
Oh, we're starting off fighting, aren't we? But we're not alone. We have some guests with us today, and some very special guests indeed. I guess we should start off with the lady in the room.
Hi, I'm Lauren from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., among many other podcasts, and I am confronting my childhood traumas.
And we have a not country music star along with us as well. We welcome you back from Friday the 13th in January.
Yes, Willie D. Nelson. I'm just as good as the original Willie Nelson, but, you know, with an extra D in there. And, I love drinking my beer brand beer.
And we have a super special guest joining us for the first time on the Art House Legends podcast, Cecil.
Hey, this is Cecil from Good Bad Flicks, and I don't know. I have a YouTube channel where I talk about movies in general. A lot of underappreciated films, movies that I like that I feel don't always get a fair shake, and that ranges everything from small little movies that no one's ever heard of all the way up to larger budgeted films that maybe didn't do so well when they first came out.
And in this episode, we're discussing Killer Clowns from Outer Space, starring Grant Kramer, Suzanne Snyder, John Allen Nelson, John Vernon, and directed by... Lost it there? And directed by Stephen Kyoto. I have to admit, I never found myself thinking that Art House Legends would ever touch this movie. And yet, about a year ago, when we were going to be doing our Art House Rejects, we were asking people for movies to do, and someone, not naming names, said Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And, of course, we had to do our little research to make sure that it fit our criteria, and lo and behold, 86% tomato meter for Killer Clowns from Outer Space. What? I was flabbergasted. So we couldn't do that for Art House Rejects because, you know, it didn't fit that criteria. So we decided, well, what the hell, we're going to do it for Art House of Horror. And I still am going, what?
What?
And it wasn't just me that was doing that. But, all right, so let's...
I was doing it the whole time.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I have to turn to the expert here. Cecil, this is not your first time talking about this movie. So what do you think was it about this movie that made it so insanely popular with the critics?
I think that it's one of those movies that it transcends the material because it's so charming, like, and creative. The practical effects that they had from back then are still just amazing. The clown masks, the clown designs, and all of the things that they did fit within this theme of the clowns. They had the big top tent that was the UFO. They captured people and they entombed them in cotton candy. They did shadow puppets that ate people. I mean, it was just, the whole movie was brimming with creativity. And I think that is why a lot of critics were able to say, okay, you know what? This is a smaller B film. It's got a very silly story and whatnot, but it's just so damn charming and inventive. And I think that really is what elevated it beyond what, say, another studio would have done.
So... I honestly, I can kind of see that, But I also know that, especially for a movie from the 80s, this is a very, we can say this is a very 80s type movie, right? I mean, this is gloriously 80s in vibe, in culture, in even the special effects of the time. This came out in 1988. We're deep into the Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, factory mm-hmm. at this point, right?
Yep.
But, yep. I guess I should go ahead. Let's start off with kind of what about this particular movie kind of captured your imagination. I want to give this to everybody. Let's start off with the one who's confronting your fears.
Okay. So I want to say, first of all, I don't actually have a fear of clowns. I don't like clowns. I read about John Wayne Gacy when I was way younger than I should have. But then there was also this movie. When I was a kid, I must have been maybe about 7, and I was just walking out to get a drink of water. And the way I remember it is my dad and my sister were in the living room, and this movie was on. My sister, by the way, born the same year that this movie came out. And I just happened to glance at the TV, and I remember seeing this clown, and something had happened on screen, and it scared me so bad that I ran back to my room and hid under the bed for a while. When I watched the movie this time, I wouldn't say it was so intense as to be a flashback, but the scene where there's the puppets with the ray gun and all that, but I got a chill up my spine, and just all of a sudden I was back there in the living room seeing it again. So I think that was the scene I walked in on.
There's definitely a puppet scene that we'll be talking about in just a little bit that kind of had that same effect on me, although I was, I want to say, 12 at the time.
Yeah, I want to say that if I had seen it from the beginning as a kid, I might have had a different reaction. But just completely unsuspecting, walking through, looking at that, I freaked out. And I haven't seen any of it since. This is the first time that I've seen it in its entirety ever.
And what about you, Mr. Nelson? Considering that you seem to be a pretty hardcore fan for this movie.
I can't even tell you the first time I even watched this, because my parents didn't care what I watched. I grew up watching Child's Play, all the horror movies, Friday the 13th, it didn't matter. And this was just one of them that I just grew up knowing. And I not only own this on DVD, I also own it on Blu-ray. I love this movie. I had to rebuy it. But I just fell in love with just how in detail they get with everything. The little balloon dog, the popcorn gun. It's just everything. It's just one of those movies that has always been with me ever since a kid.
So, Kent, this is your first time seeing this movie. What were your impressions prior to seeing this film? What were you made aware of about this film?
Not that much. All I vaguely remember is, this movie came out when I was about ready to be a freshman in high school, because I'm that old. And even at the time, not too many people really talked about it. I think it was more like in the later 90s when it was like, if anybody was going to talk about it, they were like, we should watch that sometime as part of a bad movie rip. Except we can't find it on VHS or on new DVD anywhere. So for some reason, it just wasn't available.
But, all right,
so it ended up not being till now that I was able to see it.
So I guess I should go ahead and preface this by saying that, yes, I did see the film when I was 12 years old, but I was actually, it was in 1989, I want to say, 1988, 1989, when the movie came out on VHS. My mom used to work in a little store right next to a video rental store that had a picture, you know, had a poster for Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which was the globe spinning with the clown finger zapping it, you know, with the crazy logo print and stuff like that. That intimidated me enough that I just found myself not interested. If anyone who heard back on the Ghostbusters episode knows, I was kind of a weenie for horror movies up until my preteen years. And so when I finally came around to seeing this movie, I was in a particular state where I took it too seriously. And that was my biggest mistake with this movie. You cannot take this movie seriously. Otherwise, it gets in your head in ways that you really don't want having this movie in. So coming back to this movie this time around, I you know, I'm a little wizened. I've seen vastly more painful movies and movies that I really regret ever seeing. So I was pretty sure that I wasn't going to have the same response, and I didn't. We'll see what I think of the movie now. I will say, though, I laughed a lot more this time around than I did the first time. And I guess that's a really good question to start this off with. Now, this movie is considered to be a horror comedy. And that's kind of how IMDb puts it. I think most people who they talk about this movie, they play up both the comedy and the horror aspects. Do you see this as being a horror comedy or a comedy horror or more comedy or more horror? Where do you fall in that spectrum?
I think it's kind of a good mix. It's definitely playing up the absurdity of, you know, just there's clown aliens from outer space. What is their, what kind of evolutionary, you know, pressures caused clown aliens to evolve with these clown. Specific.
Oh my God, we're going into the evolution.
Well, no, I'm just
already.
Saying, like, when I was watching it, I'm just thinking about it, and I'm like, of course, I'm a biologist. This is what I think about. There's what, under what circumstances would these have evolved? And the answer is none. There are literally none. But the fact that they exist, I mean, it's hilarious. Clowns themselves, maybe not so hilarious. The fact that there are clown aliens that are here to kill people with balloon dogs and candy, cotton candy guns killer puppets and shadow puppets and just all these weird things. Yeah, that's funny. Because, oh, and are those popcorns their eggs? Are they oviparous?
I think so.
Like, seriously, do clowns lay eggs?
They laid them in the toilet, because remember the, not the toilet,
they crawled up.
They were in the hamper in the bathroom.
Trash bin.
So,
and they came up.
Oh, yeah. So I'm watching, this movie. You know, yes, I'm laughing at the absurd ways people are dying and everything, but then I'm thinking, what is the biology of these clowns?
You know what? I'm seeing the evolutionary.
Their weak spot is right.
Well, then again, I mean, look at you guys. Your weak spot is a dangly bit. It's kind of the same thing.
Fair,
but it's lower and
and it's not like glowing bright red, and you don't explode in confetti when someone whaps you in.
Yeah,
sadly not.
But,
sadly.
I mean, that would be hilarious, but.
That's debatable.
Oh my God! Is that nose their testicles?
That's how the popcorn comes out.
Oh.
Jesus
Christ. Excuse me, I gotta sneeze up some clown kids.
Oh boy.
Well, oh my God, no, we're watching the movie and with the pies. Like, we're joking around, like, you know, cream pies. Is like, is the pies how they reproduce? Is that like their semen? What is going on?
Oh God.
And there is some bizarre clown biology that you can really get into with this movie. And of course, it's just making it more hilarious to me. And I don't think that's what they're going for, but that's what I got out of it.
Honestly, I don't know if they aren't going for that, because it does seem that they are totally aware of what it is that they're trying to do. But again, before we go there, I do want to get more people responding. What about you, Willie? What do you see this as more horror comedy or comedy horror?
I'm going to say it's probably about 55% comedy, 45% horror. There you go. And
so you find the clown scary?
I mean, it depends upon how you view the clowns. If people find clowns very scary, then they're going to find it very horrifying. But I mean, me myself, I'm not really scared of clowns.
What about you, Cecil?
Similar thing.
Where
I think it's about 60-40. I think it's about 60% comedy, 40% horror, because there are parts where the clowns, they do a good job of making them creepy. And again, if you are scared of clowns, this is just going to make it worse. And it's that, like, right amount of creepy, because sometimes when you see, like, scary clowns, like, I think there was one on American Horror Story, where it was like, it was way over the top. It was like, you know, he had big teeth, and it wasn't scary because they went so far with it. Where this, it's like, okay, they kind of look like clowns, but they're like slightly twisted clowns, but you could still see something like that playing at a carnival, you know? So that's what made it still creepy, was that it felt like real, but also alien weird clown.
They're weirdly muppety.
Yes.
Like, I think that's I kind of...
They are.
Like, they're oddly... I'm not going to say adorable, because their faces are just horrific. But the way they move and, like, the bodysuit and stuff that they have, I mean, it is funny to watch. That weird, they've got that kind of stuffed toy thing going on.
Now, there is...
And then you look at their face, and it's like a paper mache nightmare.
The thing is, if they were to take this and do it, like, now, like, they would redo it in CG, if they're, you know... they would do it, but they would make it not scary. Because, like you said, it wouldn't have that kind of, you know, Muppet puppet element to it, is what really, I think, is what sets it apart and does make it creepy. I think the little clown is the only one that's, like, kind of cute. The one that he rides in on the tricycle and then he punches the dude's head off.
I'm sorry. The little green one.
He's kind of cute. He's going to knock his block
right
off.
Right. It was kind of...
there is one scene that it can be... truly creepy, and that's the one where the big one is sitting outside the Big Top Burger, I think it's called, and the little kid's just looking. Yeah,
that was awful.
He's like with his fingers, like
that was awful.
That was the creepiest scene they had. That is a pure horror moment right there.
Because didn't he have like a mallet really behind his back or something?
Yes, he did. Yeah. And I'm guaranteed everyone in that restaurant's probably dead now in that movie at the end of it.
Yeah. Okay. So again, all these people in this town, a giant Muppet clown shows up at your door. Do you open the door?
I mean,
exactly.
No.
We spent the last year. We spent 2016 just with the threat of just random clowns showing up places. And
showing up with pizza, though. I mean, I might be obligated to say,
I would not take a pizza from a clown. I would not take a pizza from a clown.
Oh. That's where you and me differ there.
You don't know. You don't know you what that clown has been burger? Doing to that pizza.
But will you take a cheeseburger from a clown? Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh.
You do not want to know what that clown has been doing to that pizza. Or burger.
Adding popcorn to it, of course.
Man, the burger's even worse because the burger has folds.
I'm sorry, what?
You know.
Folds?
I'm saying that the clown's been fucking the
burger. Oh my god. My
well, that's
ears.
How they reproduce.
Exactly. They're going to make little popcorn inside the burger. Little clown eggs.
Oh, now we have an alien type of thing going. You know, they think they're eating a burger and all of a sudden.
Oh, then one of those horrible little clown on a stick pops out of your chest. Ew.
It could be worse. It could be the dream.
Oh, the shit we
made. Oh god.
I need to watch that movie again.
I need to forget that was movie one of, again.
That was one of Scott and my first date movies.
I'm sorry, what?
I am as surprised as you that he is still
I
with me.
I feel so bad for you.
No, I was the one who insisted we need to go see it.
Bask in the glory of Morgan Freeman's eyebrows.
What?
Oh, I thought that was a caterpillar. I thought he could never just took them off.
Oh, yes.
Yes, this will do.
Yeah.
All right, okay, well, let's speak about actors in this particular movie, because, wow, this is definitely a cast. Where do we start?
Let's start with the only one I recognize, John Vernon. Dean Wormer.
Oh, my God. I love John Vernon. He is a mainstay of mine, and I will say this right now. I think the first time I saw him was in Ernest Goes to Camp, which he did literally just after doing this movie. It's weird because I could almost stage my evolution as a film goer to John Vernon because a film I've seen, Animal House, I've seen other movies of his, and and then of course he has one of the creepiest scenes for me, one of the scenes that, I will admit, triggered me a little bit to the point where, I will say one thing though. Excellent foreshadowing.
Excellent foreshadowing. He says it. You know he's going to end up as a puppet.
Not going to make a dummy out of me.
Half an hour later. We only want to kill you. That was possibly the best line of the movie.
Well, it was so much that when I saw Independence Day after seeing this, is like that's all I could think of was John Vernon as the puppet.
Oh my god, you're right.
You know, during that particular scene. Yeah, it's the exact same thing. but much creepier. Much creepier! And then, of course, there's another movie by a certain filmmaker of a certain Saw franchise who did something like this as well, but I'm not going to spoil that for those who haven't seen that movie. But, yeah, it's, I don't know. I guess that's one of my latent fears, is being turned into a puppet by some.
That's a very oddly specific fear.
I didn't realize.
I don't know. Did you ever read? like a cordyceps or something.
Oh, God, yes. I have played the game The Last of Us, and it is all about some cordyceps.
Have you ever read or seen The Girl with All the Gifts?
I have not heard.
I have yet not
the
seen
book
it,
is absolutely fantastic, and I haven't gotten around to seeing the movie yet. But the book is fantastic.
The movie is good. From what I gather, they switched some things up, but I haven't read the book. I've only seen the movie. But I enjoyed the movie. And I know the ending pissed a lot of people off.
If it's anything like the ending of the book, yeah, I can see why.
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to have to check it out during October then and kind of get my impressions on it at some point. But what about you, Kent? You're familiar with John Vernon, right?
I forgot he was the dean in Animal House. I was listening to his voice and going, he was on Batman Animal.
Oh,
he was.
Who was he?
Yes.
Yeah, he was go ahead.
I forget the gangster's name, but it was basically the main villain for the first season.
It was Daggett.
Wasn't really the super villain. Oh. Daggett, yeah.
Also,
and he did a lot of voice acting.
Rupert Thorne, not Daggett. Thorne. Daggett was Clayface. Yeah.
He's also Ellen Tye's real life dad. Yes,
really?
Kate Vernon.
Really? Mm-hmm. I did not know that. Wow.
See, we're just getting that geek sheet already out of the way at this point.
Yeah. Well,
oh, wow. And he was Iron Man in the 1966 series Iron Man. In the animated
of
one,
course.
Yeah.
The animated?
Wow.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
He was.
I love you, IMDb.
You defense.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about our non-John Vernon characters, because, the other people in this particular cast have not exactly been mainstays of Hollywood, right? I mean...
Not really, but...
but let's talk about... these characters, though, because, wow, these are some really dumb people.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I was kind of liking about this movie is the actors, I mean, bless them, they're trying so hard. That's one of the... Okay, so I like a lot of bad movies. And one of the things that I like is when the actors are really just trying their best. And, everybody on the set is trying their best. And for whatever reason, it doesn't come together. For this, I feel like it does come together, even despite the people, or because of the people, who are just, kind of high school theatering it up.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite, my absolute favorite, I think, is the old hillbilly at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, who actually has a really, really long list. So I have, an IMDb cast list. So I think,
Are we
forgetting about his
Royal
dog,
Dano.
Bear?
Oh, Boo Bear.
Pooh Bear.
Poor Boo Bear.
Poor Boo Bear.
I'll be honest, when I was 12, that broke me up pretty bad.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What happened to Pooh Bear? And
do you think he was turned into the balloon dog? Or do you think they already had? Do you think they already had a species of balloon dog?
I think they had that.
Do you think the other animals on their home planets are also balloon animals?
I just want to say I love the fact that you're scientific with this. I love it.
This is what I do.
I'm
a biologist.
I think that's
who
writes. Robotic technology.
This is what
they love
to watch movies with you because of this.
Oh, you have no idea. But Pooh Bear, that was one of the most devastating things for me. And I think that kind of shaded the rest of my vision of the movie, because if they're willing to kill a dog right off the bat.
Oh yeah, then they're evil.
And, they're targeting children and stuff like that. It kind of is one of those things like, I really wanted the heroes to win. And I guess let's go ahead and just put it out there. They don't win. we could even make the argument that they died.
They got hit with clown pies.
I don't know. I think there's one winner at the very end, and that's Dave the cop, because I think he gets the girl in the very end.
Yeah, and they become
that's just all for fun. Come on now.
No, in all honesty, though, it's a
okay. What exactly do the clowns make that is acidic? Like, is it a biological thing? Is it chemical warfare?
I love you, Lauren.
What do they have to fight that would cause them to create this? What kind of horrible monsters are they escaping from?
They make cotton candy guns that rapidly deteriorate.
They're
human
like spiders.
Like,
it is basically
seconds.
This is what spiders do. They juicify you.
Oh, true.
But do they also add cherries on top?
So you're saying the clowns are spiders?
I would think the cherries are an aesthetic choice.
Ah, I like that. Kind of like the big red nose.
It's garnish. It's like a motif.
Or else it's a fertility symbol.
They didn't explain...
Hey, we do have female clowns.
They're drawing penises out.
And apparently the female clowns are interested in male humans. Because, you know,
I love the Lorenzi brothers. They didn't explain.
Oh, they had sex with those clowns.
They didn't explain why they were like. They put some people in the cotton candy, but then when they captured Debbie, they put her in the giant beach ball.
My theory, based on absolutely nothing, was that they were going to mutate her into their new clown queen.
Makes about as much sense.
But
as
that
anything.
Didn't happen.
Well, they also can't. They also
on.
Did that. They also did that with somebody's
like,
wife.
Kind of like the brood mothers from...
They did that with somebody's wife, too. So.
But yeah, kind of like the brood mothers... No, I was going to say from Dragon Age. But yeah, StarCraft 2.
I think they were just doing that with several women.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, there's several beliefs, and they've mentioned that there was an indicator early on in the film that the farmer called John Vernon and said that his wife had been taken in a balloon.
Oh, you're right.
So they've been doing it with several women. I'm honestly thinking that they're building a human harem. Because it seems like
maybe
they're
the
only
clown women.
Females. And as we know, there are a lot more male
clowns.
Or
maybe the clown women
were
previously
clowns.
Human women that have been turned into clowns, which would explain why they were attracted to human men.
Oh my god, you guys are turning this so much darker. Oh my god, I love it.
Or there are no actual women clowns. They were.
I was thinking that too. I mean, it's future thinking with the transvestite clowns.
They could be trying to interbreed with humans to better adapt to Earth's atmosphere. And for whatever reason, their chromosomes only work with the double X chromosome.
But I will say, though, that when it comes to the female clowns, though, the fact that they have inflatable boobies.
That made me think they were fake.
I'm sorry, I don't see a problem here.
Yeah, they're clowns.
Next point.
That just reminded me of, I don't know if y'all have ever played Rifts. It's an RPG system. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the,
there's,
you know, all the body modifications that your character can get. One of them is, augmented breasts, and you can, like, there's a modification where you can inflate them for, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a survival device.
I see
like
your charisma level usage. Is maxed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
In case of a crash...
As a flotation device,
As a floating device.
Airbag.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I think we went into clown anatomy.
No, we're not far enough.
Too far.
Not far enough.
So... All right,
how do clowns poop?
Let's talk about...
with ice cream.
I miss... Yeah. Oh, no, time out. No.
We already did, buddy. We already did.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're there. You can't.
Because we know they kidnapped two girls.
Why do you think they saved the Terenzi brothers? Because they're ice cream truck.
Seven videos? Truck.
Yeah. Well, they did mistake the ice cream truck as a goth for like 5 seconds.
I mean, come on now.
So, there is that. just saying. And as soon as they've revealed themselves to be frauds, what do? They get destroyed. Although, like cockroaches, they find a way.
Yeah.
You know, just saying.
Oh, God. Now there's a new fear. Clown cockroaches.
I can't find them. I just hear their laughs.
Oh.
They work at flea circuses.
Oh, they have six legs. Gross.
There you go. Yeah.
Every time I squish on them, all I hear is a honking.
And that's what people say about the French premise. Boom. Just saying. Let's talk about them, because they are our comic relief, right? And
yes.
And they're 80s comic relief, so they are extremely non-PC.
They're very dumb. And
that's...
Well, I don't know. I think the idea of trying to go up to the makeout spot and go, hey, anybody want ice cream? Because in my experience, somebody would have gone, hey, you know what? Ice cream sounds good. Let's get a couple ice creams and go back.
Right? It's like, after a while, you need to rehydrate.
I'm
just going to say, though, that maybe sex is not the best time for fudge sticks.
Hey, I want to see you eat this popsicle, girl.
Are you sure? Yeah. I mean, look at what they were selling. They were trying to hit on those two women.
The entire town is being murdered. And they're like, do you think girls like ice cream?
Very limited.
That's true. They're opportunists. They're Twiggy and what's his name?
Lenny.
Laverne and Shirley.
Lenny and Squiggy.
Lenny and Squiggy. Yes.
Yeah.
They are one-track-minded individuals who see nothing more than what they absolutely want for themselves. But here's my question, though. They are renting that truck, right? They are not working for someone. They are independent entrepreneurs. Considering that they keep giving away their wares the way that they do, I don't think we've ever seen them actually sell an ice cream. How the hell do they stay in business?
It's means to an end, buddy.
Well, they
They're
did
trying
sell
to get
ice
some
cream
that
night.
I mean, means to an end, my friend.
They probably sell weed along with the ice cream.
So basically, this isn't a job for them. This is a cover for them to hit women. This is turning even darker. In fact, I want to say that maybe these two are our villains, that the clowns aren't even the
villains. Oh, my God. They're the human plants. They're the Quislings.
That's your sequel right there. Just saying. But seriously,
it makes sense. They're completely perturbed by these clowns. They're exactly where they need to be all the time. They're having sex with clown women. I mean, for all we know, that's a reward for luring all these humans in.
Means to an end, my friend.
Yeah, I think they were co-opted by the clowns.
And we don't actually see the female clowns on the ship. We know that they get off the ship, so there's a good chance that those female clowns are not on that ship either. So,
but I mean, we also discuss how they could possibly be ex-human women. So, hey, it's okay.
Hey.
Yeah, it's like this is even darker. What if they're women they used to have a crush on and they turned them into clowns?
And what if they actually do become Debbie's roommates?
Debbie's
what
roommates.
What if that's why they said that? Oh, that's awful.
They can have a spin-off sitcom, Debbie and her roommates.
And the whole thing is Debbie is completely unaware that these two clowns are murdering people and sucking their blood.
Oh, God, that'd be awesome.
Oh, what if they're pregnant? Because there is a possibility.
Oh, they're just laying popcorn eggs everywhere. And it's like, what's with all... Oh, and they're selling the popcorn and people don't realize what it is. And they're organizing like an infestation.
So that's
from
how
this...
Pennywise came to
Yeah.
I just broke it, everybody. God. I just broke it.
This has turned darker than I ever could have imagined.
You know, in retrospect, this is a great movie.
I'm sorry. I was saying that from the beginning. Nothing's changed for me.
Like, I was just like, okay, this is a fun movie. Now I'm like, no, this is fantastic.
It's a yearly tradition now for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Fears be gone.
This is a bizarre RPG waiting to happen.
Oh, it really is. It's like you are the commando versus the clowns. Or you are the clowns trying to take over the world.
So I'm going to go ahead and throw it out. I don't actually want to see a sequel to Killer Clowns from Outer Space, but you know what I do want to see?
Debbie and her roommates?
Because there was another kind of comedic horror movie that was made in the 60s. By a director named Roger Corman called Little Shop of Horrors. And then in the 80s, they didn't do a sequel, but they did do a musical remake. Follow me on this.
Musical Killer Clowns.
A musical remake of Killer Clowns.
Very yes.
Yes.
No, yes, but only if you use, like, okay, because the soundtrack to this movie was fucking awesome.
Yes.
So you have to use the same.
No. The Dickies have to be involved. We have to have the Dickies.
So you have to do, it's like a punk soundtrack. Like, you know how they had that whole, the Repo Man kind of thing going on and it had that sort of sound? Well, this needs to be like, just has this sort of sound, not like, you know, like a show tunes thing, but like very, like 80s punk.
I agree. Ah.
Oh, and it would be great. It'd be great if you could do it like a stage show, like the Evil Dead stage show. So you could actually just like spray people with like blood and stuff from the audience, throw confetti and throw popcorn, confetti and pies.
And have a splatter row where, you know, people need to wear like raincoats because of pies and stuff.
The sperm pie.
So are we tweeting Lin-Manuel Miranda that he needs
Lin-Manuel Miranda's busy. We need to do this ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. No, we need actual punkers. We need, you know.
Are you saying that I'm not punk rock? Oh,
you know what? I'll go on record and say you're not punk rock.
Oh. Oh. I think I'm going to step over here by the exit. It's about to get.
You
got
to prove your punkness to me.
I gave my no.
Yeah, what?
I gave.
Well, what about you, Cecil? Do you like this? Would you like to see this as a punk?
I don't
rock
know.
Music?
I mean, as long as the Kyoto Brothers were involved, it might be good. But a lot of times, what happens is these punk rock musicals will come along or just musicals in general, and take the source material and just kind of twist it. And it does. It sometimes it works. Like the Evil Dead musical was really good, but other times it's just painful. So it could kind of go either way. It'd be like 50-50. So I don't know. I guess give it a shot. I'd rather a legitimate sequel, but you know, if we ended up having a punk rock musical, as long as, like you said, the Dickies are involved, I'd be cool.
One of my problems with the sequel to this movie would probably be the fact that, at this point, it would basically be another resurgence. I mean, you know, another alien invasion 30 years down the line. I don't know. It just, to me, you'd probably want to really kind of start fresh and do something a bit different with this type of material. But I don't know. Do you kind of get that, or
no? It would be kind of funny because they could almost poke fun at how bad Independence Day resurgence was, where
I was gonna mention
they have like anti-clown technology, where they now have weapons that can fight back against the clowns, and they have like some sort of nose-seeking missile or like a hard candy shell that surrounds the Earth. Or I mean, there's a lot of things that they could do to kind of play up that. I think that they're, you know, being that there's 30 years between, they could really play it up and make it work. I think that it would be a lot of fun instead of just, all right, here's another invasion, and they kind of go from there. I think that they could do that. And with the Kyoto Brothers involved, and I mean, they've also had 30 more years to improve their craft. So think of how good this stuff looked in 1988. Think of how good their practical effects work is going to look now.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, especially given that from what I read, that they made this on like, what, a $2 million budget?
Yeah, they made it on a very small budget.
Like,
yeah.
Wow.
I actually have some fun facts on the back of the DVD case. And yes, it does mention the $2 million budget. But here's one I have to share.
Yeah.
The director had hoped the shower scene would rival Hitchcock's masterpiece, Psycho, substituting a toilet bowl swirl for the shower drain.
For a Hitchcock fan, as myself, well, it was blasphemy that... just a little bit. That said, though, the heads popping out of the medicine cabinet was priceless.
But that toilet bowl one, that one was huge.
That's what she said. Okay. Ooh! Hey, we're going
go
dirty.
Gold,
we're going to go all the way dirty.
Gold.
Oh boy! All right. Okay, so let's talk about the weapons that the clowns have, because this is obviously part of me wants to feel like Killer Clowns from Outer Space is in a way kind of laughing at the likes of Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street in a way, right? Because the weapons are just absolutely ridiculous, but at the same time, though, it fits the clowns themselves and the clown motif, right? Do you think that
I did write down this line. Why popcorn? Why cotton candy? Why balloons? Because they're clowns. That's why.
Yeah. And actually, the popcorn, I expected it to be a tracking device.
Oh, you gave him too much credit there.
Which maybe the baby clowns transmit psychically, and that's what
they're
drew
like,
them to
they're
the
like
house.
Poplars.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, there they are. Poplars? Yeah.
I'll shed a tear as I'm munching down on these delicious little babies.
All right, but what's so your favorite piece of clown tech?
The elevators.
Let's go there.
Oh. Just the whole aesthetic of them. Just look. I want to get on one of those elevators and go.
The invisible car.
They do look nice.
Oh yeah.
you mean the car that the clown stole from Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's be honest here. That's the reason why she doesn't have an invisible car. It was stolen.
I'm okay with
clowns.
it.
Just because it was weirdly cute, the balloon dog.
But is that a weapon?
It's a
tool.
It's a tool. Let's just deal with that.
I think it's a tool. They use balloons as kind of a nanotech, and they can build on the spot.
It's a bioweapon? I don't know.
If they needed...
Is the air the bio?
If they needed a giraffe, they would have... If they needed a giraffe, they would have made a freaking balloon giraffe.
What would the giraffe do?
There.
I would have
reached tall things.
Who
I don't
knows?
That's a lot of balloons.
Yeah.
Shadow puppets for that.
Yeah, that's true. They do the shadow puppets.
They do with the
shadow,
shadow puppets
were my second choice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I will be honest, that was one of the tech that kind of freaked me out at 12. Although it was one of those things that now I kind of bust my brain and stuff. How? Like,
yeah, on Twitter, somebody mentioned that just a minute ago. Like, I want to know what the shadow technology is.
Oh, I got you right here. Because they're clowns, that's why.
I was going to say nanotech, but I don't know.
Well, that was, for me, that was a very sci-fi element because it becomes technology indistinguishable from magic, and that felt very supernatural. Not the TV show, but I mean, just, you know. These guys can manipulate
all of
shadows.
A sudden, Sam and Dean come in and start crying.
Yeah.
Oh, I might actually watch it then.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they have to have had an episode where they fight clowns, right? I only watched up until season 5.
They have.
But...
You know what? I might actually watch that episode if they do.
They did. There was also a murderous unicorn that farted like both.
Mr. Toots?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's been, like... 8 episodes where they fight clowns.
I will check that out.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 10. 10 episodes where they fight clowns.
10 episodes.
Well, there were 3 episodes of Doctor Who where
apparently
clowns,
at least
so,
2 of them were
know.
Inspired by this movie, according to IMDb.
Gotta start with those 2. I gotta start. Yep.
Alright. But so, we talked about the tech. Let's talk about the tent. What the hell drugs were the Kyoto's on when they designed this tent? I mean, obviously it's a TARDIS type, right? It's much bigger on the inside than on the out, right?
Well,
we can agree
when
with
it
that.
Lifts,
I mean, how
when it lifts off, it has that bottom section, and it doesn't seem like, I mean, it, for me, it seems almost like it could logically be.
Yeah, it's like
it's
a rounded diamond.
Yeah, there's enough volume in there.
I don't know, I mean, that star chamber, that was both deep and wide.
Yeah.
And we have several rooms that are pretty massive. Almost like they were the same room, just dressed up in...
You know what? I got this one. Do you remember their vehicle? The clown car? There you go.
Yeah. Well, clowns just have the ability to get 5 people
there
in and
you
out
go.
Of the car. So,
so we are saying
sure,
this
I'll
is
allow
TARDIS
it.
Technology. We're agreeing. Okay. Just want to make sure. Make sure.
Are you saying that Doctor Who, or at least Time Lords, have visited the clown planet? Maybe they stole TARDIS technology?
Are you implying that they didn't?
Yeah,
because I'm very definitive you are.
Stole them.
They are a degenerate species of Time Lords.
That they are. But still, though, I mean, what do we think about these designs? Let's look at the cotton candy room, so to say.
Oh, the storage.
I mean, what I love about that room is, especially the first time that we go in there with our 2 hapless lovebirds, you know, it's kind of, you know, we see it with only like, 2 cotton candy bags. And then later on when we get back into it and we see how massive and how much they were able
to... Yeah, I think it was like the whole first floor was filled with cotton candy, and then...
Actually, there's two floors.
Well, two floors.
No, I think it was like three or four in there, but I'm saying the very beginning when you first come in there, they only had the first floor filled.
It wasn't really filled. I thought it was like only like two or three. It was
no,
like
there's it had stuff in there, but you could tell there was room expansion.
Numbers aside, how much do you love that they drink the blood with a sippy straw?
You mean a funny straw? A crazy straw,
like,
if you will?
Yeah, the crazy straw.
The crazy straw, yeah.
I loved it. I think that clown's name was Tiny.
They have names?
Oh, yes.
Oh, some of them
do.
I'm not sure
they have.
Yes, they do. I tried to look for a price, but their price way high. I'm like, I wish I had that much expendable money.
Huh.
Was it McFarlane?
I gotta look it up. It's actually in my Google search. Killer Clowns from Outer Space figures.
Oh, here. Yeah, they do have names. The green one is Shorty. There's one named Slim. Huh. What do you know?
Yeah, but they are priced way high.
Because what?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure though that once the sequel is given a kind of a boost, we'll see more figures, and they'll probably mass produce them for collectors.
Yeah,
it's more than likely. But what about you, Cecil? What are your takes on the alien ship and kind of design?
I think it was kind of like you guys are saying. I think it is sort of TARDIS interior. Because even if it did stretch down into the Earth, it still was a lot bigger inside. And I think that was just kind of very clever of them to be able to give them the ability to do, like, whatever they wanted. They were just like, wow, this thing is huge inside. So they were able to create all these different rooms and sections and make it seem that much more grand. And it was another way also for them to make, to stretch their budget, you know, just to have all of these different sized rooms and not really have anything to explain it. Just like, oh, well, it's just really big and just go with it. And
another door.
Yeah, another exactly. Door. Another door.
Another door.
So, yeah, just a little silly thing like that. It was just really, it goes along with the rest of the film. It's just creative and fun and inventive, and just it kept getting more and more enjoyable throughout the whole film because they never stopped with the creativity. Like, it started with the little things in the beginning where they were showing the different types of clowns, and then the clown gadgetry, and then at the end, they're going through the clown ship, and you keep getting introduced to all these new things. So it just kept it being inventive.
So what do we think about the about kind of how the film gets to its finale, especially considering that about an hour into the film, it becomes a damsel in distress story, right? Yeah. Because at this particular point, you know, after the alien invasion's pretty much successful, right? They've basically tagged the entire town. Debbie gets picked up, put in the balloon for whatever reason that we kind of mentioned. And now it's up to our Lord of the Ring Pops, Fellowship of the Ring Pop, to go and save her, right? What do we think about kind of the transition, the third act transition?
I mean, if I can just interject that. I mean, when you got the Terenzi brothers helping you out, I mean, it's a guaranteed win. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Terenzi's, there's definitely a Pippin and
Mary.
Oh, no. Please don't tell me you're comparing
Mary.
Not the Terenzi brothers.
But seriously, though, I mean, you know, here they are. They're going off into the unknown. They are facing, malevolent magical forces. They get split up and become kind of heroes in their own rights, right? The Terenzis come in like the Kool-Aid Man, which leads me to wonder, how the hell do they know where...
Debbie's roommates told them where to go.
How?
Take a left at the another door room, nope, and you'll know where you are.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, though, when the ice cream truck comes in, I do get the, oh, yeah, moment going right there. But, you know, but then we have, you know, Mike and Dave, who are kind of they're in a romantic triangle.
Are
with
they?
Debbie, right? They're the.
Mike, I thought, was like,
what's
we're not
Mike?
Dating anymore.
Oh, it's...
I do want to mention, what's Mike's last name? I know you guys know this.
Uh-huh.
Mike Tobacco.
Tobacco.
I laughed so hard like, when I found that out like, a bunch of years ago. I was like, wait, his last name's Tobacco? Whose name is Mike Tobacco?
His, I guess.
Yeah.
well, it's Mike Tobacco. I mean, it's... I'm wondering if that was, like, someone was, you know, fighting over, like, the last cigarette, and someone just like, ah, there's the name of our character.
Dude, tobacco. You figure, based on this movie, that they were not smoking tobacco.
I can probably guarantee they were smoking the wacky tobacco.
I don't think it stopped with wacky tobacco, to be honest. There is some seriously fucked up image.
I mean, you also need that energy to make it, too. Choo-choo!
Definitely. I'm starting to think that perhaps it was the stuff that you drop very, very hard. I mean, seriously though, I mean, like the whole Clownzilla, that is like a bad trip, right?
Come yeah, on. But it was funny though.
That or is bad boss fight. It's like a bad boss fight in a video
with
game.
An easy win.
Final level. Yeah.
Well, this was target the red the nose. Nintendo era.
How come there was not a game?
Yeah.
How long did it take for there to be action figures for this?
10, I mean, 15 years,
what,
yeah.
About 50 years?
If you could imagine a video game based on this right now, what kind would it be? Like platformer, first person shooter?
Oh, it's an action game. It's
no, 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 no,
THQ.
I didn't say it was going to be a good video game. I just said it was going to be a video game.
There should be no video games made by LJN.
They should make a Fallout expansion with a killer clown.
Yeah, they already have aliens. That would be cool. Just have another type of alien come down.
Well, there's a...
Yeah.
Well, no, Grand Theft Auto 5 already has that kind of
mod. Sucks, because I can't aim for the nose for anything.
There's a pen and paper role-playing game called Deadlands, and they have the post-apocalyptic version, which is Deadlands Hell on Earth.
Yeah.
And one of their dime novels, which is a little mini expansions, they had a Killer Clowns expansion where you went to this carnival and they had like mutated clowns and you had to fight. And it was pretty freaking awesome.
All right, quick to Amazon.
Ooh. Yeah. Quick to wait. I don't think anybody
I will just say this though, considering that we have a renaissance in board gaming, Killer Clowns from Outer Space is a board game. Come on. That would be awesome.
Awesome. I landed in the pit.
Do you play as the clowns or the resistance?
Pit jacuzzi. Yes.
Yeah. 5 extra minutes in the ball pit.
Okay. Naughty children get an hour in the ball pit.
Kids, I see Dave fell in the ball pit. I think I will go help him out there. Help him out. Yeah, I'll see you guys later.
Especially since there's chicks at the ball pit.
I mean,
right?
that's just a byproduct. I mean, if they're there, they're there.
So what did y'all take of this of the finale with Clownzilla? Because it is pretty funny that you know we have ourselves a
master clown.
I like
clown.
That he was a marionette at first.
I didn't know if that was intentional, that they were intentionally kind of playing that Clownzilla was a puppet, or if it was, you know, kind of an Ed Wood thing where, we don't have the budget to remove the strings, so just leave
either
the strings.
Either way, it works.
Wait, epiphany. He is their, the clown Power Rangers Zords combined. You're welcome.
You know, I think we've actually tied Killer Clowns from Outer Space to every franchise of the last 20 years. I'm seriously.
I'm sure we can think of a few
more. I think if we give it enough time, we'll tie it to Marvel and DC at the same time.
They are escaping from the Chitauri. There, you're welcome.
Okay. I don't think the Chitauri want anything
but
to do with
that. They're legends now. Oh, wait. Yeah.
The clowns are guarding the last Infinity Stone.
Ooh. Oh my god, that really is the Reality Stone.
The giant.
We're all screwed, okay?
You know who has to fight him? There's only one character in the Marvel Universe that can fight him. That's Howard the Duck.
Yes!
Yes!
Okay, Marvel, Killer Clowns from Outer Space versus Howard the Duck. Make this happen.
It's better than
this
Jeffrey Jones.
This has got to happen. Oh, God.
Well, I mean, clowns are always suspected of being,
child molesters. We're not going here, are we? I didn't mean that.
Jeffrey Jones is actually confirmed.
I didn't mean for that to happen, but it did, and I love it.
You opened that door. You own it. own that door. Look, there's another door, okay? You own that one too.
You never, I mean, who knows? Their one weakness could be quack food.
Yeah, we don't know. Not until we actually make it happen.
And who's more punk rock than Howard the Duck singing in the very end of that movie?
I think we have stunned our new guests. I think that we've traumatized them.
Yeah, it's like this.
No, I just I'm just tired.
You see the D in my name stands for right, well,
gotcha.
All right, we'll go ahead. We'll start wrapping this up because I don't know where else to go with this. This is like, what the hell? Can't believe that we're doing this episode. this is not what I thought Art House Legends would do.
It's certified fresh. Defied. What can you do?
They did get nominated for best costume from for the sad ones. gotta bring out something serious there. Yes, they got nominated. And best music, they got nominated.
All right. Let's start tying this up. Anything else we want to talk about before we go ahead and rate this?
I do want to ask, when the old farmer guy, when he punched the tent when he was angry at Pooh Bear going missing, and he hurt his hand, what was he expecting it to do if it was just like a regular tent he punched through? I just punched the tent. Yay. What was he trying to do?
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe he was thinking that if it was like fabric, he would hit it really hard and it would bounce back and punch him in the face.
You know what? I'm going to say he's a more...
Or he'd at least get somebody's attention.
Who was the better farmer actor? Him or Stephen King in the... What was that?
Creepshow.
Yeah, Creepshow. Who was the better farmer actor?
I'm going to say him. Stephen King was just high as balls on cocaine at the time.
I mean, it was the 80s. Who wasn't?
Whenever I think of Stephen King acting, I think of Max.
Oh, yeah, he was definitely on cocaine then.
Speaking of high as balls on cocaine.
Asshole. I'm going to scare the hell out of you.
Oh, God. All right. I have nothing else. I guess, you know, just about the song and the music and especially kind of the stuff that is coming out right now. I guess that might be tied to the upcoming sequel, but what do y'all think about the song from the
I dug it.
Oh yeah.
Like seriously, the soundtrack was amazing.
Fits the movie perfectly.
Will this make your Halloween playlist?
I mean, it already is. What are you talking about?
What about you, Lauren? Is this going on?
Yeah, I'm adding it like tonight.
October 31st.
Is it on Spotify?
Yeah.
Check it now. I'll let you know.
All right. But what about you, Cecil? Where does the music break?
I love
you?
The Dickie song is classic, but the score is perfect. It's that, you know, 80s synth pop, like just, it really nails it. It's still good to listen to. And then hearing the new version that John Massari is putting together, where he sort of, gave it the full orchestra treatment, it's like a completely different thing. So it's neat hearing both versions of it. I prefer the old version.
I heard the John and Sorry version. That is way much better than the
I
movie.
Need to find that.
Yeah, he has it on YouTube. He has like the recording sessions and whatnot.
Yes.
They're really good.
Quick update, the Dickies are on Spotify. And that song is
excellent.
Okay.
Rock on. Alright. So is there anything else, sir? Are we ready to call it?
Call it a great movie, you damn right I am.
Alright, well let's do this then. Kent, Lauren, Willie, Cecil, do you agree with the critics on Killer Clowns from Outer Space? I can't believe we're doing this.
Okay, on this podcast, and you can't believe we're doing just Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Oh, no, I believe the places we go with any episode we do, but to do this movie, my believability factor is just like, skipped a whole different level. I'm a new territory now.
One of those times when I absolutely agree with the critics for giving this like good ratings. It's really fun. It's inventive. It's creative. It's just an enjoyable film that doesn't get old. It is just really good, and I'm happy with it. So what, I give it a what, pass? Is that what the, okay, what I'm saying, is that what you say, you know, pass?
Yes.
Or okay. Okay, yeah, then totally. Yeah,
it's
pass.
A pass, fail, or maybe.
I mean, really? They didn't rate it high enough, I gotta say. No, I'm kidding. This is a perfectly rated. I mean, it's not for everybody, because, I mean, some people are really, really scared of clowns, and they're gonna find this to be the most horrifying movie of all time. But just the way, how creative they were with everything, that's the one thing I've always said when I have shared it with people, like, this creativity, they come out with everything. The little, the balloon animal dog, the popcorn gun, it's cotton candy, it's just, it's mind-blowing how creative they were, and it was a first love for me. So what can I say?
100% pass. My childhood trauma has been conquered. This was hilarious.
And you just started a whole bunch of other childhood traumas.
If you were a kid and you were listening to me talking about clowns fucking, you are probably already traumatized before.
I think that's the line of the show right here.
But yeah, just as I was watching this movie, it was just so much fun. I loved it. It's great. Definitely adding it to my October playlist.
Lauren, we need to find an episode of HBO's old series called Real Sex. Find the episode where there is clowns.
Oh, I've seen it.
It was awful.
Yes. Okay.
I've seen it too.
Anyway, my standards are a little high. I will say this movie had great practical effects. I mean, costuming was just amazingly done. And yeah, this was a very original plot. I mean, yes, we've had alien invasions before, but not with clowns that did clown stuff while they did it. I just thought it was way too cheesy at times, and I would say it's enjoyable fun, but I can't put it on the pantheon of the greatest films of all time over here. So I have to be the dissenting voice and maybe it, and just say, you know, you want brainless fun? Yeah, go ahead. If you want something deep that you'll go, wow, this is the greatest movie ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I'm saying no, but
I definitely understand where you're coming from, Kent. And when it comes to Killer Clowns from Outer Space, I'll be honest here. I came into this not thinking that I could really be able to give a proper assessment of the film. And maybe it's just because I'm so wired to talk about movies on a level of, you know, kind of their skill at trying to convey, you know, great storytelling. And the thing is that this movie doesn't care about great storytelling. I think it's really about kind of motifs. They're not from scene to scene, it doesn't really kind of hold a very coherent thing from scene to scene. It's just that each scene works on its own level. And for a B movie, and the fact that this is a movie that knows that it's a B movie, it knows what it is. And I know this is a trope that is used so often, but quite honestly, these guys aren't trying to make Citizen Kane. They're not trying to make something high art. What they are trying to do is make fun of something that terrifies them, and they're doing that with kind of a throwback to old, you know, horror movies of the probably the 50s and 60s, I believe, kind of a mockery of the current horror climate. I definitely feel like they were thumbing their nose at Freddy and Jason a little bit, kind of with the level of the humor that they were trying to put into the story. And for what that is, it works. I think that it's a goofy movie. Definitely has some very creepy moments. I think that the John Vernon puppet scene is still going to kind of give me the shivers a little bit. But at the same time, though, it's funny and it's goofy, and you know, I can respect it for that level. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a pass, which I honestly thought I was not going to do. But I think that it definitely did what it set out to do, and it did well. And whether we get a sequel or a musical reboot, which I think would be really awesome, I'll definitely be checking out the next one. If anything, just for a good laugh. I mean, hell, I did go see Jeepers Creepers.
There's a third one?
There is that. There is a third one. Why? And it is hilarious!
Just a long return for that one?
It's... Oh, okay. No.
Oh.
No, no, but it is funny. You go in thinking you're going in for a scary movie, and the entire audience is laughing its ass off. It is hilarious. That's the only thing I can. It's a bad movie, bad movie. But oh, does it completely miss the mark in such a beautiful way? But that's for a whole different conversation, and one I don't think we're going to be having on this podcast. Hi, Eric from the future here, right quick. Just wanted to make people aware that Chris wasn't able to get onto this particular episode, but he did share his opinions of this movie, and I thought that I will go ahead and put it right here so that people can hear what he had to say, and then we'll go straight back into the show.
Hey, this is Chris, and this was actually my first time seeing Killer Clowns from Outer Space, but somehow I had seen the whole ventriloquist scene before, but this is my first time all the way through, and I don't know if it's something about horror movies in the 80s or anything, but like all the stuff with the humans annoyed the shit out of me. I couldn't stand any of it, and like I don't like clowns, so it's weird to sympathize with them. I guess, and like all the clown stuff was great. The practical effects were awesome, and I read the $2 million budget mostly went towards the sets, and I mean that shows, because like the crazy clown UFO stuff is great, and just it's all that stuff's very creative. It's just all the like Mike was a fucking dick, and I couldn't stand him, and. I just didn't like any of that. Anyway, the movie is really bad. Like, it's very 80s, which is fine. You know, some people love that. It sounds like everybody was eager to be a part of this tonight. So, I mean, they had to like it, right? But, all right, I'm going with a maybe because it's not a total waste of time. Because, like, the clown stuff is great, like I mentioned, but the rest of it is ass. Just, like, biting into a rainbow turd and just, like, horrible fucking, just awful, awful, awful. Anyway, maybe. Great special effects, great clown stuff, everything else bad. That's it.
So, I want to thank everybody for joining us. This was an amazing episode. I'm very thankful for the time that you've given. Where can we find you on the internet? Let's start off
with I can be found, everything that I do can be found at lawofalltrades.wordpress.com. That's L-A-W of all trades. Whether it's the audiobooks I'm working on, the podcasts that I'm on, like links to my Etsy, whatever. I am on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, twice a week as we burn through the Netflix shows and Inhumans. And yeah, I'm on Twitter at Sithwitch.
Let me get my professional voice on for this. You can find me every Sunday live at All Things Good and Nerdy at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Gunna Geek Network. Other than that, I have some things on YouTube under South Porky. That's also my Twitter handle. If you love Overwatch and you love wrestling, I would definitely check out my... Because I do all the creator wrestlers, all the human characters in Overwatch for, in the wrestling, WWE 2K17. And the next game's coming out next week, so I'm going to be having quite a hard time doing that. Those two.
I can vouch for them. They're fun.
Yeah, you've seen them.
I'm gonna have to check this out. Actually, I love Overwatch.
You can find me Good Bad Flicks on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch.
And I can personally vouch for Good Bad Flicks. I love Good Bad Flicks, the channel. It is amazing. Lots of great, insightful stuff about some very interesting movies. Movies that maybe I'm not the biggest fan of, but You definitely give a unique twist on them, and I cannot recommend the channel enough. But if you are interested in what we're doing over here at Art House Legends, you can definitely check us out on our Facebook page or our Twitter at Art House Legends. Or if you want to just send us a nice little message, you can do so at arthouselegends@gmail.com. Or if you feel, you can always give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That would kind of help us grow the show out a little bit more. Kent, what do we have coming up next week?
Sorry, I got distracted looking at chili recipes involving exotic ingredients and also chainsaws. That's weird.
Clown popcorn, is that included?
But next, no, popcorn could be a side dish, but the main course is you get up a chainsaw and then you hack somebody up in chili. Next week is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's
the original Tobe Hooper saga masterpiece. And then, of course, later on, our last episode of Art House of Horror. What do we have for that?
We have a movie starring Patrick Stewart, feature where he's a bit psychotic, as I understand it, titled Green Room.
Ooh.
And if you're interested in those episodes, go ahead and subscribe to our show on iTunes or on Stitcher, and we'll be posting those every Wednesday. But everyone, thank you so much for joining me for this episode. This is the Movie Dude Eric.
This is Kent.
This is Lauren.
This is Willie D. Nelson.
And this is Cecil.
And
please leave us a positive review on iTunes.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Legends Podcast is not affiliated with any other entity. The opinions stated in this podcast are strictly personal and do not represent the view of its sponsor or any other person or entity. No infringement is intended.